The Gemara tells us in Meseches Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis, in discussing all about the Su'udas Purim, the feast that we are mechoyev, we're obligated to have on Purim. So the Gemara tells us, Abaye bar Avin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, Michalfei Su'udaisayu lahadadi. So Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, they would exchange their Su'udos, their Purim feast, with one another. Now there are different understandings as to what that means. According to Rashi, Rashi says, Ze ochel im ze bepurim shel shana zu, that this one would eat with that one at his home, this Purim, ubishnia soy chaver imo. And in the following year, his friend would come and join him at his home. In other words, they would take turns having each other or hosting the meal of Purim. One year it was by Abaye bar Avin, and then the next year it was Rabbi Chanina bar Avin. And that is what the Gemara means when it says, Mechalfei Sudasayu Lahadadi. Okay? So, it's a little difficult to digest as to what's the Chiddush? What are we learning from this? Why do I need to know what their plans were from year to year? Is it truly necessary to know that one year Abaye bar Avin had the Purim Suda by him, and in the following year, Chanina bar Avin had the Sudas Purim by him? Either have it one year in this person's home, have it another year in this person's home, and Shalom Yisrael. What do I care? Why is it necessary for the Gemara to tell me what their dinner plans were? It seems to be, too much information. What is a TMI? Too much information. It's really not necessary. It's extraneous. That's our first question. Our second question is based upon the Megillah in the beginning of the fourth chapter of Megillah's Esther. So the Megillah tells us that Mordechai yada es kol asher na'asa vayikra Mordechai es begadav. The Mordechai learned all that had been done, and Mordechai, he tore his clothing, he wore sackcloth and ashes, vayilbash sak va'efer, vayetze biso chayir, he went out to within the city, vayitzak tzaka gedola umara, and he let out a bitter, bitter cry. And then the Megillah continues, and it tells us that ultimately, Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther, they related Esther's words to Mordechai, that she was a little hesitant into going into Achashverosh. So the Megillah tells us, Vayomer Mordechai lo hashiv al Esther. Mordechai said in response to Esther, Al tidami binafsheich lihimaleit beis hamelech mikol hayudim. Do not imagine for a moment that you will be able to escape into the king's palace any more mikol hayudim than the rest of the Jews. Ki im hacharesh tacharishi bo'es hazos revach v'hatzola yamol hayudim imakom acher ve'atu beis avich tovedu. Because if you stay silent at a time like this, Revach v'hatzola, salvation, relief will come to Bnei Yisrael from Mimakom Acher, from another place, while you and your Beis Avich and your father's house will perish. Vatomer Esther. Esther responds to Mordechai, Lech kinos es kol ha'yudim ha'nimsoim b'shushan. Go and assemble all the Jews that are to be found in Shushan. V'tzumu alai, and fast for me. V'al tachlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim lailov yom. Do not eat, do not drink for 3 days, night or day. And then the Megillah tells us something very interesting, very fascinating. The words of Esther. And what does she say? She says, Gam ani v'na'arosai atzum kein. That I, with my na'aros, my maids, will fast as well. First of all, why would she fast? Why is it necessary for her to feel compelled to fast? After all, she's the one that has to be going in to Ahasuerus. Shouldn't she have all of her strength, all of her might, all of her faculties? We know that when people fast, they're weak, they're tired, they're not thinking straight. So why would she come and tell Mordechai that she's also going to fast as well? First of all, she should not have fasted. And second of all, why is she telling that to us? Maybe the assumption is that she was going to fast. Why is it necessary for her to add in, oh, and by the way, me and my maidens, my maidservants are going to fast as well? It seems to be, again, too much information that seems to be extraneous. It's not necessary. Not only is it not necessary, it doesn't seem to be a smart thing to do. If she's going into the king, she has to make sure that every word is calculated and measured. She has to make sure that she has all of her strength, all of her might, all of her faculties, that she'll be able to go in and speak in a coherent way, that she'd be able to convey and to get over her message to Ahasuerus. And yet there she is telling us that I, with my na'aros, will fast also. And our third and final question. The Torah tells us in the beginning of this week's parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh, Va'ata Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. Now you shall go, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, you shall go and command b'nei Yisrael. V'yichu eilecha shemen zayis zach kasis lama'or, that they shall take for you pure, pressed olive lama'or for illumination. La'alos ner tamid, to kindle the lamp continuously. And Rashi comes and tells us something very interesting based upon those words, La'alos ner tamid. Rashi comes and tells us to light a lamp continually, madlik. He would kindle the fire of the menorah, ad shetehe shalheves ola me'eleh, until the flame would rise on its own. In other words, when the Kohen would come and perform this avoda of lighting the menorah, it should be that he would light the fire of the menorah until the flame would rise on its own. That's Rashi understanding the words la'alos ner tamid. Though if you look at Parshas Bahaloscha, so the Torah as well tells us, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon, speak to Aharon, V'amarta elav, and say to him, Ba'aloscho es haniros, that when you will kindle the lamps, when you will light the menorah. And Rashi comes and tells us, what does that mean? What are we learning from here? Al shem shehalahav ola, ksiv ba'alokason loshan aliyah. Rashi is bavorning, Rashi is anticipating, why does he not use the word ba'alokason, when you will light the candle, which is the more commonly used word to mean or to give over, to convey the idea of lighting. Instead, the pasuk uses the word ba'aloscha. What does that mean, ba'aloscha? It's from Lashon Aliyah, to go up, meaning Shetzarech Lahadlik, that the Kohen needs to light the menorah Ad Shetehei Hashalheves Ola Me'aleah, until the flame is being lit on its own. Again, very, very similar to what we had learned in our parsha. Only once, when the flame is rising on its own, that is when you are considered to have lit the menorah. However, unlike in our parsha, where there's only one pshat to understand the words that to lahalos ner tamid, again the expression of ba'aloscha, not lahalik, lahalos ner tamid, Rashi comes and gives us another explanation. Va'od darshu rabosenu. There's another explanation that the rabbis expound. Mikan, from here we see, Shema le'haisa lefonai lefnei ha-menorah, that there was a stool that was placed before the menorah, She'alea ha-kohen omed umetiv, that on that, she'alea, that on this stool, from the word ba'aloscha, on this stool, he would stand, umetiv, and he would come, and he would clean, or he would light the menorah. So the obvious question that Mefarshim ask is, if it's the same word coming and introducing this idea, the idea of it's not simply to light, but it's to light in such a way that the flame would rise on its own. Well, then why is it in Parshas Tetzaveh we only give one explanation, but when it comes to Parshas Ba'aloscha, it gives two explanations? One explanation is the candle being lit on its own, and the other is that the Kohen would stand upon this stool, this step in lighting the menorah. Ba'aloscha, he would go up and he would come and he would prepare the candles in order for them to be lit. Why don't we have that second explanation in Parshas Tetzaveh? So I believe that there's a very big difference between Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Ba'aloscha. Parshas Tetzaveh is the general command that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to a Kohen. Your responsibility, once the Mishkan is built, is to light the menorah. The Mishkan and all of its kelim in Parshas Tetzaveh are not even in its infancy stages yet. It's in the stage of, this is what you will need to do. But it's not practical, it's not implemented at this time. The Parshios of Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekude, all of these Parshios are telling Klal Yisrael, or telling the Kohanim, what their responsibilities are. But it isn't at the point where the Mishkan is already inaugurated and now it's time to implement and to actively use. Parshas Ba'aloscha already is where Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron, Va'amarta Elav, Ba'aloscha es haniros. Now it's time. Now it's time to take all that was planned for and to actively go and light the menorah. And this is the way you come and light the menorah. You don't only light the menorah, but you actually stand upon a stool and you actively go and light. You are an engaged participant. It's not simply lighting that it lights on its own, but you actively are engaging the menorah so that you have the ability to light the menorah. In other words, what we learn from here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching Aaron HaKohen that Yiddishkeit and your responsibilities is not simply to light a candle that now it's being lit on its own, but you're preparing for that candle to be lit on its own. You're leading by example. You're standing upon a pedestal and you're engaging the candle so that now it is prepared to light on its own. You're not only lighting a flame, but you're also Shemalo Haisel Lefnei HaMenorah She'aleha HaKohen Omid, that on it the Kohen is standing. He's an active participant, not simply a bystander waiting for the flame to be lit. Yiddishkeit is about being an active participant, not a bystander. And ultimately, it's the leaders, the leadership of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, that teach us this idea. And that is precisely what was happening when Esther Hamalka comes to Mordechai and says, Mordechai, Lech Konas es Kol HaYehudim, and fast for me. In other words, don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. Now that would have been okay. That would have been fine. You fast for me, and I'm going to stand on the sideline watching you fast, and I'll go in and I'll engage Ahasuerus. That would have been okay. But that's not what Yiddishkeit is about. Yiddishkeit is about you, the people, are going to fast, and I, Esther, am not relegating you to a life of fasting, but I'm going to lead by example as well. Because I'm an active participant. I'm not just giving over to you that it's your responsibility to figure it out. In other words, the idea, the concept of do what I say and not what I do, that is not a Torah concept. If we want to convey a message, if we want to give over something, we have to be active. We have to model that behavior. We have to fast. Imagine for a moment if Esther would have given instructions to everyone else to go and fast. And then B'nai Yisrael is going to say, oh, by the way, what is Esther doing? I'm not sure. I don't think she's fasting. She would have liked to have fasted. But, you know, she has to go into the king. We want her to be in her best self. It's really not best that she fasts. How are the Jewish people going to take that? Are they going to feel supported? Are they going to feel compelled to fast? Are they going to really want to fast if the person they're fasting for is not fasting herself? To convey a message in the most effective way, it has to be that not only are we saying to do it, but we are doing it as well. We're on the front lines with the people that we are expecting to go to battle with us and for us. And that's the difference between Haman and Esther. Because Haman, if you look at the Megillah, Vayomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh. Haman says to Melech Achashverosh, Yeshnu am echad mefuzar u'mefurad bein ho'amim. There is this scattered nation living among the nations, b'chol midinos malchusecha. B'daseyem shnos mikol am, Right? There's Dasei HaMelech Ein HaMosim. They don't keep the king's laws. V'LaMelech Ein HaShavel HaNicham. And therefore, it's not befitting for the king to tolerate them. Im Al HaMelech Tov, if it's pleasing for the king, Yikasev LaAbdam. Let it be recorded that they be destroyed. Va'aseres alafim kikar kesef eshkol, and I will pay 10,000 silver, whatever the currency was, and listen to these words, al yedei osei hamilacha, into the hands of those who perform the work. Do you hear what Haman is saying? Haman hated the Jews. He was coming to Achashverosh and says, Am Echad, this is Yeshnu Am Mefuzar or Mefura. They're a despicable people. They have to be destroyed. You would think he would be at the forefront and say, I am going to destroy these people and I need a few good men. Not what he said. He said, I am willing to pay money into the hands al yedei osei, the others who perform their duties. Let others go and do it. He wants to absolve himself. He wants his hands cleaned of any blood. He has what we refer to as plausible deniability. I didn't do it. I just happened to randomly say something. And they took it upon themselves. The Ramban tells us by Paro. Paro knew he couldn't get away with actively coming and saying, let's kill the Jews. Levied a tax. Turned a blind eye the other way. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. The Egyptians decided to take it upon themselves. They did it. Plausible deniability. The Yidden, true leadership, wanting to convey how important something is. Esther says, you fast, and I'm going to fast with you. The Kohen Gadol was active in his lighting. It's not simply to allow the candle to light on its own, because that's not what Yiddishkeit is about. It's about getting up on a pedestal, putting in the effort, being an active participant, and then the payrolls will be that you'll see, you'll get nachas, you'll get joy. This child, this flame, will be able to be lit on its own. Esther Hamalka would never allow people to go and fast while she's eating a four-course meal. Where's the midos? Where's the metzlikite? It's not effective. Effective chinuch is where you don't only preach something, but you do something as well. Haman, whoever does it, I'm willing to pay them 10,000 shkalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unklus, he was a ger. His uncle was the Roman emperor. It was the Roman emperor, unbeknownst to him, that had given Unklus the idea to come and convert to Judaism. When Unklus found out, when the Roman emperor found out where his nephew was, he would send officers to come and speak with him. And time again, Unklus would convey the idea that this is the right religion. And one of the statements that he had said was, look at the difference between your king and my king. Your king sits all the way at the end of the palace and everyone is outside protecting him. king will never get his hands dirty. The king will never go into battle. But my king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's at the forefront. The mezuzah is affixed upon the doorpost on the outside. And the owner, the Baal HaBayis, is on the inside, being protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the mezuzah affixed on the outside, weathering the storm. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, is guiding us, is protecting us. Doesn't only expect us to protect him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads by example, and he is protecting us. We are a religion of active participants. We don't sit idle. We don't just tell people what to do, but we actively engage in doing it ourselves. We model our behavior, and hopefully with great siyata d'shmaya, people will follow, whether it's our children, whether it's our talmidim, whether it's our colleagues, whether it's our community members, whatever it is. And I believe that is pshat. That is why the Gemara is telling us about the Seudas Purim. Even something so insignificant about a Seuda, a meal on Purim. The Gemara tells us, Abaye bar Avin, Rab Chanina bar Avin, Michalfei Seudas Sayu Lahadadi. They exchanged their Purim feast with one another. And Rashi says that one year it was by Abaye's house, the other year it was by Rab Chanina's house, and they would switch back and forth. Who cares? Too much information. Why do I need to know their Purim plans every year? In our house, we always had Purim Suda. Purim was by us. Thanksgiving was by my aunt and uncle. Why does the Gemara have to tell us that? Ma, I wish I was home for your Purim Suda. So I believe the answer is, the Gemara is telling us that there's no such thing as Abaye hosting the Purim Suda every year and Chanina Bar Avin being a bystander. There's no such thing as being a bystander in Yiddishkeit. Chanina didn't want just to sit at Abaye Suda every year. That's not Yiddishkeit. I want to make the Suda. It's my opportunity to make the Suda. I want to be an active participant in being Mekayim the Mitzvah. I'm not interested in being passive, in being a visitor, in being a bystander, in watching while someone else is making the Suda for Purim. Because that's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is about being active, being involved, being engaged, not watching from the sidelines. This is not something extraneous. We are being taught a very valuable lesson in Yiddishkeit. And that is a meaningful Yiddishkeit is to be actively engaged and involved for you and for being able to convey over the timeless message of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha. It's a transmission, Kehilas Yaakov. And Mirza Hashem, this should be a wonderful, wonderful Purim where it's a Kimu V'Kiblu, Mashu Kiblu Kfar. It should be a Purim where we are the Kabbal, the Torah Me'ava, we're accepting this Torah Me'ava. And then Mirza Hashem, the times of Adar and Nisan are times that are Muskal, that are inherent for Geula, for redemption. Oh, does Klal Yisrael need a redemption now more than ever? The months of Adar and Nisan should be a time that's Muskal for Geula. And Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha to the third and final Beis Hamikdash, where our enemies will be destroyed, as was in the times of Purim and in the times of Pesach. Have a good night.